Welcome to the Norris Group's Real Estate Radio Show. Hosted by author, investor, hard money lender, and real estate educator, Bruce Norris. Equipping California real estate professionals for tomorrow's challenges.
Hi, this is Bruce Norris. Thank you again for joining us. Today's guest is Robert Friedman. He is the co-founder and chairman of National Recreational Properties, Real Estate Disposition Corporation, REDC, and LandAuction.com. Since 24, he's been involved in lots of different real estate purchases, residential and commercial, and land. Robert's also co-author of Auction Revolution and soon to be published How to Make a Fortune at Real Estate Auctions. Robert, welcome back.
Thank you for having me again.
When lenders get back properties, which they are going to do a lot this year, their first choice seems to be listing the property through a broker and asking more than they probably should. Are you approached early in the process or usually after that hasn't worked?
Yeah, you know, all of our sellers are different. Typically, some of them will, you know, list the property for 90 days. And then put the property in an auction, and some of them will put the properties directly in the auction.
Okay, but you do have some people that are calling you pretty much out of the gate.
That's correct.
Okay, no, I didn't realize that. What's been common in Riverside is that we've had a big price change, and a lot of times the lenders are chasing the market down with the listing prices, and they're not really letting the brokers price the properties correctly. So they keep on gradually bringing them down, and they're never quite ahead of the curve, and so they don't get them sold. And then I think they go to the auction, and then I think, don't you guys have to cope with a non-realistic seller sometimes, even at that point?
Well, you know, sometimes, but the beauty of what we do is because we typically are getting good crowds at these sales, you know, it's easier to hit the seller over the head and say, hey, you know, look at this crowd. These are educated, informed buyers. They know what these properties are worth. They've looked at the properties, and this is the market. And when they have that many people staring them in the face saying, hey, this is the true market, I think they have to come to the realization that maybe their values are a bit high and they just need to bite the bullet and take their medicine.
What percentage of a big auction, like a 1,000-house auction, what percentage of those ultimately close?
Oh, gosh, high 80s.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, that actually, I didn't have any idea it was anywhere close to that.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Well, these people are very motivated, so.
Well, I know they should be. We were just the successful bidder at on 11 properties, and they approved two of them, 9 no's, 2 yeses. So your ratio is much higher.
And which auction was that?
Went to Kennedy Wilson.
Yeah.
And there's another one called Catalyst.
Yes, yes.
So, now...
That was not my auction.
That's right. Of course not. No.
Right, right.
No, there are other people in the auction business.
Yeah, no, a lot of them.
A lot of them.
A good job.
Yeah, they do. No, that's the thing. This is... actually, I think there's a lot of professional companies, and there's so much business that I think actually the quantity is overwhelming most people.
Yeah, and the fact of the matter is, I'm not gonna work for sellers that I believe are unrealistic because, like you said, you went to a different company's auction and your property you didn't get approved, and that doesn't do you any good. It doesn't do the auction company any good. It doesn't do the seller any good. So if I don't have sellers that I believe are realistic, to be frank with you, I won't take their listings.
Okay. Now, when you say take their listings, is that actually what occurs? You have an agreement with them that's sort of the real estate side of the world where it is a listing?
Yeah, I mean, you know, basically an auction company is just a broker.
Okay.
Using the auction methodology to sell the property.
Okay. You've got 1,000 house auctions scheduled both in Northern and Southern California. What is the lead time it takes you to get to the point of auction day?
Typically about 45 days.
Okay. And then you've got those 1,000 houses can't be auctioned in a day, so that takes about a week.
That's correct.
And then you have an escrow period that probably extends to, what, about 30 days?
That's correct.
Okay. So that's, you know, you start adding that up, it would be very difficult to do more than four of those auctions in each of those areas in a year. Is that about right?
Well, I mean, we're basically doing as many auctions as our clients need us to do or want us to do. So, well, but I think your numbers are right about right at this point in time.
Yeah, it would seem to be, wouldn't it be sort of counterproductive to have an auction, your own auction company auctioning inside of your own escrow closing period?
That would seem... you know, that's true.
Okay.
I mean, we really wouldn't want to do that, but it just, we don't know the... amount of the foreclosures that are coming down the pipeline, so I can't say for sure at this point.
Okay. I have one good way you could market more of them. How about we just do a little bulk absolute auctions and the investors can buy them 10 at a time?
Well, again, you know, it's our goal to maximize, as a broker that I'm working for, a seller, it's our job to sell them for as much as possible. And so, you know, if we felt that a bulk sale would get our clients more money, we would do that. But you, as you know, as an investor, you need to buy at a wholesale price. And I would say it's our goal to sell at as close to market value, you know, as possible. And we're probably halfway in between there at this point.
Okay. At the land website and in the housing auction catalog, there's a statement that tells the people attending that you reserve the right to bid on behalf of the seller.
Right.
And I'll just read the verbiage. The auctioneer may open bidding on any lot, and it's talking specifically about lots. By placing a bid on behalf of the seller, the auctioneer may further bid on behalf of the seller up to the amount of the reserve by placing successive or consecutive bids for a parcel or by placing a bid in response to other bidders. Is that a common practice when with other auction companies as well when they do seller reserve auctions?
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, you have the Sotheby's, Christie's, all the big firms, basically.
Okay. And that's in that common in real estate companies as well? I don't know that they do real estate.
To the best of my knowledge.
Okay. And obviously, it's a legal practice.
Yep.
Do you believe by telling the public that that's part of the deal, that that makes it ethical as well?
Well, sure.
Okay. All right. As a broker, which I have a real estate broker's license, and then I really want to help understand this because the people that are going to be listening to this are investors.
Sure.
And so I'm trying to make a bridge from my company to yours and to our industry, because here's the frustration. I'll just lay it out for you. I personally have seen 800 properties you guys have auctioned off, let's say, over the last 6 months. We haven't been rewarded with any purchases yet. And part of it is because of the practice of perhaps bidding on the properties. I would rather that the lender just decide my last price is too cheap and pass on it. But anyway, so what ends up happening is I think, well, I guess I can't spend any more time going to them until it looks like that policy has changed or the seller has given you a lower reserve. But as a broker, I view the practice sort of as like this. Let's say I had a listing and I got an offer that was a lot less than the seller expected. I can't write an offer saying I have multiple offers and counter that, you know, and make it appear I have another offer. And I don't know that the audience understands the difference. So help me out with the ethics of that, because I don't know that if I did that as a broker, that would be an ethical practice.
Well, you know, when an auctioneer makes a bid on behalf of the seller, it's just a counteroffer. It's basically just like a counteroffer.
Okay. If it was a counteroffer by somebody that was really there, then I guess I'd be fully accepting of that. But I think that, I guess we're going to agree to disagree. I think that if the auction company just got the last bid and looked over to the lender and said, is that what you want or not, then they would have actually heard the truth of the matter, and that's the number that it is. You would disagree with that?
I really don't understand your question.
Well, it's not a question. It's just a statement. And I think we, you know, I think
the bottom line is we'll probably have to agree to disagree on this one.
Okay.
You know, the bottom line is we're selling a ton of properties.
Yeah, you
I think
are.
People are getting great deals. Maybe not at, you know, the investor level of, you know, interest because, but, you know, I think people are getting some great deals.
Do you think that the investors play a large part of the future of going to your auctions?
I think so. I think that as even more of these REOs come in, that our sellers are just going to have to be more and more realistic. And I shouldn't say that. They are being realistic, but I think your point earlier about the market even still maybe trending down, that, and so if they end up with larger supplies and the market trending down, then I think there's going to be some even more opportunity.
Okay. Well, I hope that's true. I think the quantity is going to probably at least double from here. So you're going to have a ton more auctions, and there's going to be probably a lot more people involved in auctioning in the auction business. I don't see how they can avoid it.
Yeah, and I don't think, you know, if your numbers are correct, and I have no reason to argue with those numbers, I tend to believe that, then there's, you know, I truly believe prices may have to correct even a bit more.
Yeah, I think so. Has dealing with the lenders in 2008 changed from dealing with them in the 90s?
Well, we're dealing with typically a different lender this time. This time we're dealing more with the Wall Street guys versus back in the 90s when we were dealing with a lot of more local type of banks.
Okay.
So because these loans that you're seeing or these properties coming back were typically parts of securitizations, you know, that filters all the way up to Wall Street. And so the guys who are solving the problems now are on Wall Street. And so, you know, the major decisions are still being made on Wall Street.
When you get a final bid that's below the reserve, is there typically somebody there that you look over and say?
Absolutely. See, you know, our methodology is, while there is a reserve, that reserve is a floating number because it is our goal to make the deal for the buyer. Obviously, we need to make the deal for the seller, but we need to make the deal for the buyer because if we, you know, with all frankness, if we don't do that, we don't get paid.
Correct.
I mean, so we don't make any money unless the deal's made. So while we may have a reserve, when we have a bid, that we will go talk to the bank literally in that 15 seconds right there when it's below the reserve and try to say, come on, this is the market, take the deal. And I think that's probably why we make more deals, because we're there, you know, working with the seller right now. And typically we have a seller's representative there at the auction that can make a decision.
In the mix of inventory that's for sale on any given day, are there other properties that are owned by individuals or by investors?
You know, very rarely.
Okay.
I mean, it's happened, but it's very rarely. We don't like it. I mean, the bottom line is we know who our motivated sellers are. Like I said earlier, we're only going to deal with sellers that are truly motivated, that have realistic reserves, and typically at this point in time, you know, investors or private parties are not as businesslike as these big Wall Street guys. And if they need to take their medicine, a lot of them are not willing to take it, whereas the Wall Street guys, it is what it is. They're ready to make a deal, and they make a deal.
Okay. Now, with the lending business being, I mean, thrown on its ear, is it much more difficult now financing a fixer-upper property for the buyers?
Absolutely. You know, I mean, this is an issue. Virtually, you know, investor financing is very difficult to get. And I think the first person who figures out how to bring money back to the investors will have a really neat, you know, business where they can supply cash to folks who want to buy these fixer-uppers, because we cannot you know, finance the fixer-upper properties. That's why if you come to some of our auctions, you'll see that they're cash only on certain properties. And
right.
That's because typically they're properties that won't fit, you know, fit into FHA or, you know, lender guidelines. And typically those guidelines are that the properties have to be in good livable condition. And if they're not at the time of sale, they won't finance it. So
Well, that's why I think the real investor world and your auction company are a perfect match, because we have the cash to close that transaction, can fix the property and get it on the market for retail. So that's why I was trying to encourage you to get those sellers to be more realistic. And
well, believe me, believe me, you're right. And it's our, as I said earlier, we don't make a penny unless we make a deal. We're just like a typical broker. So we're beating them over the head, but these are savvy guys, and they're only going to go as far as they feel they need to go.
Okay.
At this point in time, I'm not saying the floodgates won't open up more. That could very well happen, and they could feel the pressure to start making those 10-unit deals, and I like that idea.
I thought you might.
Yeah.
Make sure you call me on when that happens. Not every auction company has financing at the auction, but you guys seem to have an arrangement that's currently in place for a lot of the owner-occupied.
Yes.
Okay. Now, that's Countrywide?
Yeah, we're using Countrywide and a few other really big lenders. And I think another reason why we're able to do a few more deals is because, you know, we make our lenders be directly online with their exception desk and their underwriters during the auction. So that's why people know if they bought it or they didn't buy it right away.
Okay. Now, they're pre-qualifying these people as well or not?
Yes.
Okay.
The goal is to get everybody pre-qualified, but it's unrealistic to think you're going to do that.
The changing of the guard, so to speak, Countrywide being bought out, is that going to change the players that you deal with?
I would assume so.
Okay.
Yeah.
You still think that the financing will still be there? Is that?
Oh yeah, we'll always have financing.
Okay.
We will always have financing because most every lender now is basically, in essence, selling to Fannie or Freddie, and so pretty much anyone can do it. But we have a big relationship with Countrywide from an all-encompassing point of view, so we like Countrywide.
Is it your opinion that the mix of inventory or the type of inventory this time around is superior?
Gosh, I wouldn't say that. I would say it's on par.
Okay, I guess I got a sense that there was a lot of newer inventory this time. Just in when I go look at the inventory, there's just a ton.
You know, Bruce, I think you would probably be in a better position to make that judgment than me because, we're so focused on putting on these auctions and holding them that, quite frankly, I don't get out to see a lot of the property.
I'm sure you don't.
I trust the marketplace to tell me what they're worth. And I trust, the brokers with the broker price opinions to tell us, to help us set the numbers, to talk to our bankers. But with all frankness, I believe that you are in a better position to tell me that than me to tell you.
Okay. Well, in the future, I hope we can let the marketplace tell us the value without any assistance from the auction company.
Well, again, a lot of those things are out of our control.
Okay. All right. No, fair enough. Do you see the need of some type of rules for the industry as a whole? I mean, now that you're a major player, I mean, honestly, you look at other auction companies doing things that you probably cringe at once in a while. Do you think the business of auctions would benefit by some kind of structure that says, these are the rules that we have to follow?
Well, I haven't seen any major issues. And I mean, of course, I haven't really been following everybody else, but I haven't seen any major issues that would lead me to believe that there's a problem. So
okay.
I hate to start throwing things into the mix when I haven't seen a problem.
Okay. What do you think the perception of auctions is from the public, and do you see it changing?
Well, I think the perception is you can get a good value, and I believe, while I don't think any of our buyers are necessarily outright stealing properties, I think they're getting very good values.
Broker cooperation.
Yes.
Is that a big part of the success of the auctions, is making sure the brokers get to participate?
Sure. Okay. I mean, we want to work with the community as, if possible, within reason.
Okay.
And we want to try to make everybody happy. It doesn't always work, but you do your best.
Okay. Well, I know that they certainly contain, or they have a lot of the buyers, so it makes sense to make room for them somehow.
Absolutely.
Okay. Let's talk a little bit about your book coming out. When is that coming out, by the way?
You know what? We're actually still shopping it to a few different publishers. We've got a few offers, and I'm not sure at this point.
Okay,
it's ready to go, but we're debating on how we want to use the book. So, but it should be out within the next 6 months. Would be my best guesstimation.
Has the growth of the auction business outside of do you do anything other than the real estate? By the way.
Well, we still do a lot of charity events, and those are, of course, just a way for us to give back. So,
okay,
that sort of thing.
I noticed that you are on the board of Big Brothers and Big Sisters.
I am very proud of that. Been doing that for the last 20 years. It's, you know, a great organization.
And what do they do?
Well, it's real simple. It's just a mentoring program for typically kids without, you know, one parent or another. So our primary goal is young men that don't have a father in the household. So we try to match them up with gentlemen who are typically 18 to 50 to be mentors.
I see.
And so it's pretty much self-explanatory. It's a big brother or they act like a big brother or a big sister.
Okay. Sounds like a very worthy cause.
Oh, it's great. And I would... you know, if anything could positive could transpire from this conversation, I would say, hey, call us at Big Brothers, Big Sisters and become a big brother, a big sister, because I can certainly tell you that the more you get involved with organizations like that and the more good deeds you do, the more things just seem to happen for you in on every scale and every facet of your life in a positive way.
Do you have a number that you can give out for that?
You know what? If you'll give me a second
sure.
here, ask
while
me another question and we'll look it up.
While you're looking for that, why don't you go ahead and give us your website addresses for your various ventures?
Sure. You know, if you'd like to come to our home auctions, you can go to ushomeauction.com. And if you'd like to come to our land auctions, then you should go to landauction.com. And if you'd like to come to... our online auctions, you should go to landauctionbid.com. And if you'd like to come to our developer auctions, then you should come to auctiontoday.com. And when I say developer auctions, those are typically, you know, just a developer who's liquidating the remaining inventory in a subdivision.
Okay.
And if you'd like to become a big brother, which is the most important thing you can do, then you should call 714-544-7773. And I also think there's a Big Brothers out in the Inland Empire, or actually the organizations may merge Big Orange County and Inland Empire. And the goal is just to serve more and more kids.
Well, Robert, it's been a pleasure talking with you, and I look forward to getting to attend one of your auctions.
Well, come down and, you know, we haven't met in person, so come down and see me, and I'd be happy to give you a quick tour.
Okay, I'll do that.
Okay,
right.
Bruce, have a nice day, and thanks for having me.
All right, Robert, thank you.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
You've been listening to the Norris Group Real Estate Radio Show. For more information on the Norris Group, please visit www.thenorrisgroup.com.
Check out www.thenorrisgroup.com for upcoming live speaking engagements and education opportunities in May and June, including the Norris Group's REO Bootcamp. Visit www.thenorrisgroup.com or call 951-780-5856 today for more information. 951-780-5856.